everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Steph is here from the Deftones, as well as Be Real from Cypress Hill, of course. And it is that time again, kiddies. It's time for the big smokeout, this time at Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion.
Oh, yes.
And that is going to be this Saturday at 6 o'clock. And, Drew, give me that literature back.
I've heard so much about this thing this year.
Plug the show. Really?
Promoted the hell out of it this year, yeah?
Well, look who's on the bill.
We try our best.
Cypress Hill, Deftones, Busta Rhymes, NOFX, Fear Factory. Redman is up there with Method Man. That ought to be good. Who else is on here? Suicidal Tendencies, Afro Man, Long Beach Dub All-Stars, Rumblefish, and many others. And that's just half the main stage. Then you got the second stage, and you got the dance tent, and then there's the bong room.
Plenty of stuff going on.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, what time does it start? What time do the gates open?
I believe it's
10 a.m.
Yeah, 10 a.m.
All ages?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people does that facility hold?
I believe it's 65,000.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
So, we're going to try to fill it.
What are the ticket prices?
Well, actually, today we just reduced our ticket price. It was at, I think, 50 or something like that.
Right.
And we reduced it to 35 today because, you know, yay! In light of all the stuff going on, you know, we want to make it easy on people coming out to, you know, enjoy the show and stuff.
And this is a Cypress Hill event. I mean, in the sense that you guys came up with this idea 5-6 years ago, right?
Yeah.
How long has it been?
4 years. This is our fourth one.
They've been hugely attended, too, right?
Hmm?
They're big.
Yeah,
people come to this thing.
Yeah, they've grown each year in attendance. It started off at 13,000 the first year. The second year, I believe it was 30,000, and the third year was at, I believe it was somewhere close to 60.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But this is the first year it's been at the Glen Helen Blockbuster, is that right?
Yeah, we changed it up. We wanted to...
You change it up because the management of the last place you're at doesn't let you back the next year. Is that true?
No, they definitely wanted us back.
Really?
We just wanted to have a different venue because it was a little hard on the people, the orange show, you know, the blacktop concrete all day standing on your feet.
And, whoa.
You know. So it's great for general admission shows, you know. People have fun, but standing on your feet for that amount of time watching bands and, you know, getting in the mix and stuff, it's kind of hard on people. So we tried to take it to a venue that was a little more convenient for what we're trying to do.
And I don't think I've ever been to a Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion. What's the lay of the land, the topography over there, if you will?
It's a pretty large place. I mean, Steph, you've played it before, right?
Mm-hmm. It's out in the middle of nowhere.
It's like a big grass hill, or is it, I mean, is it a big...
Well, yeah, there's a big grass area, like, way back. Yeah. Then there's the middle section where there's the seating and stuff like that. And this year, what we've got them to do was pull out the middle rows of the seating,
mm-hmm.
so that there's, like, a general admission type of area. And it's pretty large, so, they've done a few different things for us there because they understand it's a different kind of... festival we're bringing to them.
And how does it work with like all the vendors who are going to be there? Are you guys involved with those guys, or is that between the park and them, or how does it work?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, they obviously set up the vendors with all the booths, and you know, most of the people who want to have something to do with the show call us and, you know, see how they can be attached to the show.
Right. And that's coming up this Saturday. And then you got some tours. You going around the country with this? You have a few more?
Well, we're going to do a few more next year. You know, we tried to this year, but, I mean, too many crazy things happening right now to try to pull something like that off. I mean, we really did try, but, you know, he can't stop certain things from happening, obviously. But
well, let's all get out Saturday to Glen Helen and check out. And I'll give you the list of bands a few times before the night is over. But it's really impressive. I mean, I'm looking at this thing. It looks like there's about 30 bands. all total.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands. You know, Steph and myself and a couple of the other guys from Fear Factory, we got a band called Kush that we've been doing. I talked about it last time I was here, and we're actually going to play our first set on the second stage at 4:20 for the Smokeout.
As Kush,
as
and then
Kush.
It's to the main stage for Cypress Hill and Deftones later on in the evening.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
True.
Are you cool?
I was just thinking all the people are going to be baked watching these guys on the second stage are going to be then standing on the first stage 4 hours later, even more baked, swearing to God that they've seen this act before. I've seen that dude. That big Mexican dude was singing on the other stage, dude. All right. So, Smoke Out this Saturday, y'all. Let's go to the phones.
I'm just keeping it real.
Thank you, Drew. And we'll speak to Joe. Drew doesn't have to worry about his feet hurting on the hot blacktop because he's always crowd surfing at those big venues.
That's great.
Not even really yet.
His feet never, ever touch the ground.
Yeah, nothing
wrong with that.
That's the key.
Joe?
Yeah.
You're 21?
That is correct.
What is up?
All right, probably about a month ago, I ordered a Dr. Bross's Miracle Penis Pump, one of those type of deals.
Sure.
Good times.
Yeah, it was about probably my second one that I bought, but this one I kind of took.
This is something I never wait, hold on a second, Joe. This is something I never contemplated.
The penis pump?
No, the second penis pump.
Yeah.
What happened to the first one?
I just kind of lost interest with it. You know, I was.
And what, this one was a little more colorful or something? You liked the design on it?
It was a lot cheaper. The seal was better. It had like a hydraulic pump.
But didn't you sort of convince yourself on the first one that it wasn't going to do anything to you? Or is this for pleasure? Is this for.
Maybe I outgrew the first one.
It does work, despite whatever you guys think.
It does?
What does it do?
Well, what it does is, you know, it's not like it's causing an erection. What it's doing is it's taking blood there, and it's kind of stretching it out. And it's almost like, you know, how it works out when you lift weights, how the muscle repairs itself. It's not a muscle, but still.
Yeah, it's not a muscle, so it has nothing to do with this.
But still.
The skin has to adapt to the new, you know, pressure that's been put on it.
But that's right. So you get skin hanging off the skin hanging off the tip of the penis.
This is like giving your colon a workout by eating a lot of meatloaf. I mean, isn't it? I mean, using the same logic, hey, I'm really packing a lot of tough food down there, hard to digest. I'm really giving that muscle a good workout, so I'm going to have a super colon.
And that isn't more logic because there is muscle in the colon. There's no muscle in the penis.
You saying I got a plan? Dr. Corolla's meatloaf.
I don't know what kind of plan, but.
hey, Joe?
Yeah.
So let me ask you, you used a penis pump. And you say it's not like an erection, but when you remove it, do you have an erection?
It's not an erection, but, you know, like, you know, this thing will hang down past your kneecaps. It's totally stretched out. It's engulfed with blood, but it's not hard. So, I mean, theoretically, if you could walk around with this thing all day, you wouldn't have any, you know, self-doubt with yourself. I mean, you'd be flying pretty high as far as the pride factory is concerned.
Well, wait a second. If your penis is engulfed with blood, don't you, by definition, have an erection?
By definition.
No, but it's not.
Or engorged, as he wanted to say. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's like if you were swollen, like if you sprained your ankle and the swelling, you know, consisted from, you know, the damage that you'd done to the tendons and stuff.
Yeah. Like you got.
Again, except there's no tendons.
Right.
In the penis.
Right. You have wonderful yet lame angles on all these answers, Joe. If your penis is filled with blood, then you have an erection. All right.
Don't.
Yeah, but see, the problem is.
How many times have I told you that I'm not to talk to the caller?
Joe, how has this helped you in your personal life?
Well, that's.
No, let's go beyond like the. How about the spiritual life?
Okay.
The question that I have is what, you know, now granted it's made it better. But it's a problem because it's not supposed to do it. What it's doing is it's almost having the effect of like a tourniquet, I think, because I get these like mushroom things, and it'll be like the thickness of a Coke can. We're talking about 7, you know, inches around.
Where?
What it'll swell to about around the head of my penis.
It's a damn lie, and you know it!
You mean
no,
the...
No.
You don't mean the head of the penis swells that big, but there's some tissue just beneath
it. That flows, you know, that's underneath the head is actually...
Yeah,
you know,
so that's the bruise you're talking about. That's the
right.
The swelling.
But what's happened now is it's like I have... My penis is almost constantly purple, but I still have the same level of sensitivity. I can still get erections. I can still ejaculate. Everything is normal. But
you know, count your blessings.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Who are you having sex with?
My wife.
Really?
Yes.
Somebody married you? I can't believe that. You guys aren't going to have kids, are you?
Oh, we already have one.
Oh.
Yeah, she's the prettiest girl in the world.
Why are you acting stupid like that?
She's going to be a dynamite lady.
He's having too much sex with the penis pump.
Oh, my God.
Well, Joe, does your wife complain that she needs you to have a larger penis?
No, that's not the problem.
All right, so what are you worrying about? What are you doing wasting your time with that pump?
It's, you know, I'm into weightlifting, and the bigger I get, the smaller my penis gets. Do you understand that proportion-wise?
Right. And, but, hey, Joe, seriously, yes. do you have any psychiatric problems?
No.
Okay. All right, you listen. Here's what you need to do. Spend less time on your penis and more time on your daughter.
Thank you.
By the way,
let's give me the diagram. The diagram. I want to show you how the penis works anatomically.
Aren't retarded people sort of obsessed with their genitalia?
Yeah.
And when you talk to like adult guys like Joe over here, don't you get the feeling that there's a little retardism in his voice?
There's something.
I mean, that he has a complete preoccupation with his penis.
I normally think of that as psychiatric pathology, but...
All right.
Or character pathology.
All right.
No, I give you a penis.
Steph, you ever try one of those penis pumps?
Not yet.
It sounds tempting, though.
Here we go.
The real way to get size out of those is to leave them on.
Here's what
That's my angle. I just paint it beige and leave it there.
Here's what he's saying, basically.
Rock, baby.
See this part here? This is the part that gives the erection. This thing swells up.
Drew is, we're looking at an anatomical drawing of a penis. Right?
Like
those are the caverns on each side.
That swell up. Those, he's saying, don't swell up after his head. He's saying it right here.
The skin?
He gets the soft tissue between the cavernous body and the skin swells up.
No.
It's not good.
What the hell does that do for you?
I have no idea.
It's a giant bruise. Your penis is a giant bruise.
Forget about it.
I don't want to break it.
Listen, you know what we do? Retards call this show and we argue with them all night. You're a doctor, Drew. This guy's got a fifth grade education and he's really almost retarded, and we have these arguments with him all night. What has your life become? That's
not what my life has become. What the hell's the matter with me?
That's this follow up question. Sam?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay, I'm 17 and about when I was 6 or 7, my older cousin actually sexually abused me, and
well, we missed all that.
Somebody sexually abused you?
My older cousin.
Tommy
Boo.
Wow. Where are you from? What's your nationality?
Chinese.
Okay. So your older cousin sexually abused you. How old was he when you were 7?
2 years older than I am.
9 or 10. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what's the question?
I haven't spoke to him since, but the last time I spoke to one of my relatives, and something about his being a gay or something.
All right, what's your question, Sam?
Okay, ever since after that, nothing happened to me, but about 3 years later, I started to masturbate to orgasm, and I had the problem ever since, but I tried to stop.
Your problem is that you masturbate until orgasm?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a goal.
No, it's like three, four times a week. That's a problem.
Why is that?
That's a little light. That's what he's saying.
That's nowhere near Adam's usual pace.
When I was 17, I had that by noon on Monday. You understand?
Okay, that's his brunch.
Yeah.
Does that do any real damage to you, like physical wise?
Jesus, I hope not.
Masturbating a little bit?
Yeah, you're fine. 3 days a week, you're all right.
That's nothing, Sam.
Okay.
People that are sexual
damage to you?
What?
Will it do any permanent damage to you? Not speaking
out. I pulled a calf muscle once, and I don't think it's been right since the 11th grade. I really mean, I walk with a little limp.
Sam, I want you to be very clear. This cannot hurt you. Okay. Not only can it not hurt you, you're actually doing it less than many of your peers.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Not your Chinese peers, but your other peers at school.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah,
So hang on a second, Sam. Listen to this, Adam. Seriously, when you were 17, how many times a week? Seriously, conservative.
I can't really even calculate the
conservative
week. Because, see, here's how I could figure the week out. If there were 10 days in a week, it'd be easy. It'd be like, okay, 8 times 10, 80 times a week, you know. But the 7 screws me up, you know.
Just give me a number.
Because I'm at like, and plus I don't go in whole numbers because I average like 6.7 times a day times 7. I don't even, what's that, 190? I don't even know what that was.
For Sam.
Oh, for Sam.
Sam, rough estimate.
45, 50.
45 times a week, Sam, was Adam's pace.
That was during the school year. During the summer, I'd step it up about 25%.
Okay, 45, all right.
You know, days were longer.
You think he's kidding. He isn't.
No, because, yeah. Well,
Sam, you're fine.
The mind is a terrible thing.
No, yeah. Okay, my general question is, if I don't know if I should keep this up, but, like, for example, 10 years from now, will I have, like, any problem with kids and anything like that?
No.
Sam, how many different ways do we have to tell you this is normal?
All right. You're going good, buddy.
Well, thanks.
Relax.
You're doing good. All right. So take care of yourself. Problem with kids.
Ding dong day. Well, his chi will have been sort of depleted, see?
Yeah, what happened to all the semen?
All the chi is gone.
Well, wait a minute. Sam is Chinese, so he's got some of that chi.
That's the point.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That chi thinking.
Yeah, that can't be true. If that is true, that your semen is sort of your energizing chi that drives you, I've been walking around at about 40% for my entire life.
You're like inside out.
Yeah.
You're like sucking things from the world.
I should be like 300 pounds, 7'8", you know, be able to like dunk one of those mini fridges with just one hand. Now I can barely drive an automatic. Jack? That's right. I got to find my chi. Jack, you're 18.
Jack?
Jack.
All right. Let's put Jack on hold. Steph is here from the Deftones and Be Real from Cypress Hill, of course, talking about the big smoke out this week, Saturday, at the Glen Hill and Blockbuster Pavilion. Ronnie?
Hey, what's up? Adam, Drew, you guys rock.
Ronnie? Hey, what's happening?
What's up, Be Real?
What's happening?
Hey, Stefan, dude, you guys are my favorite band ever.
Thank you, man.
I kind of had two questions. I heard, like, you guys were going to come out with, like, a home video or something.
One day. We've got many plans for many things, but we're pretty slow.
Oh, really? And are you guys coming to Portland anytime soon?
I'm not sure. Maybe at the end of the month, but nothing's in stone right now.
You got a website or something that people can look you up on and find out where you're going to be touring?
Yeah, you can go to deftones.com, and it's updated semi-regular. It's not, like, always up to date, but it's pretty good.
Hey, Ronnie?
Yeah?
Yeah, the band has a fairly laid-back approach to their career, but I appreciate that. They're not out there pimping bumper stickers and whatnot. Hey, Ronnie, you okay?
Yeah.
You good?
Yep.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Take care of yourself. Let's talk to Lauren, who's on line 6. Lauren, you're 18. What's up?
Yeah, my boyfriend has a rash on his testicles, mm-hmm. and it's kind of moving up towards, like, the top of his penis, and it's kind of like a...
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Well, it's kind of like dry skin or like a blister, but it's just spreading pretty fast.
Be concerned.
I was wondering if I need to be worried about it. I've been with him for a long time, so...
Can you email us a picture?
No, Drew. Drew had this great plan where folks were going to email their skin conditions to us, and I saw these infected penises.
People cannot describe skin conditions. I can't get the info I need.
Well,
it's
just
like dry, flaky skin.
It could be eczema, could be fungus, could be...
Well, she said there were some blisters on it, too, right? Drew, do you want to see a picture of an infected sack?
It's not like, it's just dry, like dry skin, and it's just spreading. And
I don't know what it is.
Oh, well, maybe it's got just some heat rash.
What the hell's that mean?
Well, listen.
It's like ridiculous.
Okay, but let me explain something. During the summer,
eczema.
Guys work up a little heat down there.
Fungus.
It flares up. Fungus. It's like athlete's balls, right?
That's right.
Jock itch.
Fungus, yeah.
Why don't they call jock itch athlete's balls?
Athlete's nuts.
Because they got athlete's feet, right?
Athlete's nuts.
Yeah. Why not? No, because that implies that they're crazy.
Oh, athlete's testes? Athlete's sack.
Right? When you hear jock itch, you know what jock itch means.
Right.
I mean, athletes are scratching balls all day.
Yeah.
So maybe...
all the time.
Maybe that's what he's got.
Little Lamisil or... Lotrimin over the counter, and if that doesn't clear up, peel it up, he's got to see someone.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Don't touch it, though.
Good times. Good times. Listen, you got to let your balls breathe. You got to let everything down there breathe. You
got to air it out, man. Come on.
Yeah. And wear baggy shorts and no underpants. And what I do once in a while, I have a shop vac at my house, you know, one of those big wet dry shop vac. And I know suction is no good for the sack, but if you take the hose and flop it around to the outlet side, you can blow. Oh, like good, 700 CFM worth of air in there.
Handheld dryer. And now that you've got a theme song when you enter a restaurant, this will be quite a sight.
You guys want to hear my new theme song?
Sure. Why
yeah. Let's. Here it is. This is a song I play when I'm blow drying my balls every night. It's catchy, huh?
Sure.
People would hear it and know I was coming, you know? And it makes it seem like you're drunk.
It is kind of drunk.
Yeah, it's not really. Faded. Why is there a difference between high music and drunk music? This is drunk music. What's it? High music is got to have like a reggae riff to it.
No.
All music you hear is high music. Be real.
Pretty much.
All right, we're gonna take ourselves. There you go. Hey, hey. Stavis here, so it's Be Real. Deftones and Cypress Hill. They're going to be out at the Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion this Saturday. All ages there, kiddies, for the big smokeout. Everybody's going to be there. Long Beach Dubs All-Stars, Afro Man, Suicidal Tendencies, Fear Factory, NoFX, Busta Rhymes, everybody. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Steph is here from the Deftones, as well as Be Real from Cypress Hill. They're both on the bill this Saturday, along with, and I don't have time to name all of them, but Busta Rhymes and NoFX and Fear Factory and Red Man and Method Man and Suicidal Tendencies, Afro Man, Long Beach Dub All Stars, Rumblefish. That's half the people that are on the main stage, and then there's a second stage and a dance tent, and that's all at the Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion, which is this Saturday, all ages in Los Angeles, Glen Helen Regional Park or something. Is that where that is? What the hell is that, San Bernardino?
Yeah, San Bernardino.
All right. That gates open at 10. The tickets are discounted, and it's all ages. So get on, bring the kids, bring grandma.
Get off your ass and go.
And enjoy yourself, please. It's time. Let's talk to Tanya, who's 18. Tanya?
Hi.
What's up?
Okay. It's a little complicated. I have this guy harassing me. And I don't know what to do about it because I didn't think that we had a serious relationship. I didn't do anything with this guy. I didn't even like him that much. I just went on a couple dates with him. And then he calls me up one day after we kind of partied a little bit together.
What does that mean?
Oh, he was drinking. I didn't drink. I don't drink. I don't.
Right. No, she snorts heroin.
No.
She doesn't touch booze.
Yeah, I got it. I'm cool.
How old is he?
He's 25.
Ooh.
Or no, 24.
Be nice, be firm, state your case, and if he doesn't want to listen, move on.
You know, I called the cops on him.
Oh, well, man, don't worry about it. Call him again.
Restraining order.
I don't know anything about him.
Well, what is he doing exactly? You went on how many dates?
Not even how many days. It was kind of like over a couple of months. We met each other, and we talked a lot over the phone, and,
right.
And like we went on, I went out with... On Easter.
What was the deal breaker for you with him? I mean, you obviously liked him enough to be interested at the beginning.
Yeah, I was kind of interested in him. He was kind of cool. And then...
Someone else cooler came along.
No.
Well, what happened?
Or he wasn't cool enough.
No, not even that. No, seriously.
What happened?
Like, you know what I always love? Hold on. I love it when you can't tell anybody why they broke up with somebody.
Yeah.
They'll always deny it. Like, you'll go, so you met this dude, yeah. We went out on some dates, yeah. And I thought he was great, yeah. But then he wasn't so great anymore. No. Not good looking. No, no. Not smart. No.
Then she'll come back
not
with.
Not tall. No, no.
But then she comes back with, he wasn't good looking or smart.
Right, right. They always, you cannot tell somebody why they broke up with someone because they always think it makes them shallow if you say you broke up for any reason. Why did you break up with him? See? She's even denying that.
Oh, so you were never,
no, I know
she was
you
never with him, I think.
I know, you,
what
I
ended the relationship?
I know you didn't break up with him, but you stopped going out with him.
I said something dumb, I'm sure.
Day after I...
All right. You never stop going out with him, then you guys are continually going out.
And everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
She never stopped going out with him. No. You guys broke up? No, we didn't. We never were together. Well, you went out. No. Well, you stopped going out.
Maybe,
no.
Maybe this guy's a vigilante. Maybe he's not psycho.
Huh?
All right, Tanya, I'll give you one more shot. You did stop going out with him, didn't you?
Yes.
Why?
Okay. Because he called me one day, and he said, you keep calling me. I'm like, and I was at a horse show. I wasn't even home to call him. I wasn't even around to call him. And he's like, you've been calling me all day since like 8 o'clock this morning. And I'm like, dude, at 7:30, I left the house. I haven't been here. I haven't been able to call
and
you.
So because he had
a conniption fit about something I didn't do.
And so you dropped him at that point.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you know what? You're psycho. That's nice. Okay, whatever. I really don't want to deal with this. No. I'm not that interested in you.
Hold on.
Okay, you got the picture now.
Yeah, Tanya, you're good looking.
Really.
Right?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You're good looking?
I think so.
Yeah,
more
I know.
Than that, more than
I
that.
Know. Enjoy this. Enjoy this brief window in your life where you can be a colossal bitch to everybody because you're super hot and there's nothing we can do about it. Because it will not last forever. One day you will have to pay the fiddler. You will not be at the horse show. You will be the horse. Do you understand that concept? So enjoy this little window here. All right. Hey, hold on. Do you have those riding pants?
Yeah.
Those, like, they're kind of beige colored?
I don't have beige colored ones.
What color? Black?
I have all kinds of colors.
Are they like cream color? You have riding pants, though?
I do. I have barebacks. I have Wranglers.
Oh, see, she's milking it right now.
You got those boots that go up high? Those riding boots?
Of course she does.
Yeah, you do? Oh, you're so hot, aren't you?
Oh,
you know you're so hot.
This is Adam's going to go get
money.
His, like, what percentage would this be right now?
What?
Some we were talking about earlier. No
right.
More like, what's her number relative to yours, Adam?
Listen, I could have 10 radio shows. She still have a higher number than me. Right.
Jesus Christ, I swear to God, I talk on the phone and I get head on. This is bad.
Okay.
Anyway.
You're that hot, baby. Enjoy. Just enjoy it. Okay.
She doesn't hear that part of this.
Now, believe me, here's the mistake that a lot of you super hot 18-year-old chicks with the riding pants make. You think it's you. Because to you, it is you. This is me. This is my personality. This is my vibe. But wait till your vibe starts getting a little wrinkly. And you get those weird freckles on your chest. Mm. And you get them little crow's feet around your eyes. And your vibe starts sagging just a little bit. All of a sudden, it ain't going to be about you anymore. But see, you don't understand that. I mean, you know you're hot, but you can't separate you from your hotness. You know what I mean? It's Tanya. It's not the hot 18-year-old. All right, Tanya.
I don't think I'm that hot.
Oh, I know you are, though. I'm telling you.
Okay, back to my problem.
So you blew this guy. You blew this guy off because he was slightly upsetting to you.
Oh yeah, I was just like, okay.
Which speaks volumes about your sense of relationships and other people.
All right, but this guy's probably an idiot. This guy's an idiot anyway. I'm sure.
I want to hear about these volumes.
Well, look, the point is he kept going. He kept psycho calling you.
So 2 days later, this girl calls me and threatens to kill me if I don't stop talking to Jared. Like, okay, I'm really talk to him. Right? Okay, that's great. And I hung up on her.
My God.
Hung up on her.
I hung up on her.
Good.
And she's like, eh. And she called me back again, and I hung up on her again. Then I turned off my phone, so she couldn't call me back again.
Right.
But
we did the math on the phone turn off part. But so okay, you called the cops.
So yeah, my Uncle Dan's a sheriff, so I told him, and he came and knocked on his door and said, "Hey, yo, it's like this. You don't stop talking to Tanya, there's going to be some serious consequences to it." He won't stop talking to me. The problem is my Uncle Dan, I mean, he loves me to pieces, and I'm sure he'd love to take me out.
Uncle Dan. All right, well, send Uncle Dan over there again.
No. See, Uncle Dan can't because he'd lose his job, okay? I mean, I'm sure he would if he could, but he can't, so he's not. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on a second. I got to get a scratch pad.
He would if he could, but he can't, so he's not. Got it? He would if he could, but he can't.
Go get a restraining order, for Christ's sake. It's that
Tanya
much of a
had
problem.
To be hot.
Or just get over it.
Yeah, she was born hot, so those are the consequences of hotness.
Right. And I'm sorry for what this guy's doing, and it doesn't mean it's not a serious problem, but there's really not a whole lot you can do. If he calls, you just hang up the second he utters a word.
This is one of the rare occasions when I really would like to get the other side of the story. I mean, you know, I always know it's going to be different, but this time I have a feeling maybe profoundly different.
Yeah, but did you ever have some bitch just bust your balls and you couldn't stand that she just busted your balls and she was walking away laughing? And
but this is more than that.
But you couldn't kill her or nothing?
Yeah. I think they really had a relationship.
So you have a friend kill
in his head.
Oh.
See, I think he was really into this.
Well, we all know, too, when you're a young guy and you're going out with some hot chick with the riding pants, 3-4 dates, and you think it's game on sometimes. I mean, you can be much further along at 3. That's an interesting concept.
But you can be infatuated. I mean, you can be in deep.
All right, but here's the deal. On date one, you guys are both, you know where you're at. I mean, you're on the same page. It's a first date. And at date 10, if it gets that far, you basically know where you're at with that, too. But it's that 3, 4, and 5 date range where one of the partners can be way out in front.
It's just failed
of the other ones. Right.
You always have expectations of what somebody will be. Then then you're like, oh, man.
How long were you dating that one you ended up crying outside the sorority and hanging out there in
bushes?
Well,
first off, it wasn't crying. It was weeping.
Weeping. On the stairs outside the sorority.
How dare you try to humiliate me in front of my rock star friend?
How long had you been dating her before that happened?
I wasn't weeping out front of her sorority. I went over to her house to get my softball mitt, and I found a condom under her bed, and it was a soiled condom.
Years ago, did a little presentation at a sorority, and you went, oh, my God, this is the sorority.
That's the sorority house that she went to, yes, but I...
How many days? Or how many weeks?
How many weeks before she dumped me?
Yeah.
Well, we went out for a good, like, 9-10 months before she dumped me. Oh. And I was freaked out for a good year and a half. You know, it's a tough realization.
You need that weeping to get strong, though.
Yeah, it didn't work. Here's the tough realization. When you realize you've been mourning somebody longer than you went out with them, like where you dated someone for 6 months and they dumped you, and you've been bummed out, and you're now in month number 8, and you stop and realize, wait a minute, I've been screwed up longer than we were together. Yeah.
And she's probably been boning a couple guys.
Oh, maybe a whole rugby team.
Yeah, maybe a whole rugby team. Huh?
All right. Mark?
How you doing?
You're 25. What's up?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and you guys are great. And be real, I saw you guys in New York at Tilla Center, CW Post, a long time ago, and you guys were hot. So
thanks, man.
Are you in Manhattan, or are you...
I'm in Long Island.
Long Island, all right.
Yeah. I have a problem. Going out with this girl for 2 years, and about 7 years ago, she was assaulted, beaten pretty bad, and almost raped. She's been dealing rough with it for years. And now she gets a letter that he's going to be coming out on parole.
Who is this woman to you?
My girlfriend.
How long have you been with her?
2 years.
Did she know this guy?
Just was an acquaintance, and he took her in a car, and she couldn't get out.
How's your relationship been with her over these 2 years?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, it's like any other. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's gotten better as it's progressed, as we've gotten to know each other. I mean,
but it's been stable, no chaos.
No. We've known each other for a very long time, ever since we were younger. And just as we got to know each other and the little things that, you know, get in the way of relationships, arguments are normal, but everything's great now.
All right, so this guy's due to be paroled soon.
Yeah.
And is he going to be paroled back into your community, as far as you know?
Close. As far as we know... where he used to live, so he knows where she lives.
So she doesn't want him around. You don't want him around, right?
Oh, of course. No, she didn't know him as a friend, just an acquaintance. Somebody knew
him. All right, got it. What's your question for us now?
It affects our relationship because it bothers her. As you can expect, she has nightmares about it. It drives her crazy to the point where she has trouble doing a lot of things in life just because she feels that it's ruined her life.
You're doing a lot of things in life. What does that mean?
She just doesn't feel that she can do things that she used to. She has scars from it, as well as permanent damage to like her back and stuff. So she used to dance. She can't do that anymore.
So what the guy just freaked on her and just really beat her up?
Yeah. He's had that problem before, after the fact, with all the courts and everything.
Sounds like he's got a beating coming to him, so when he shows up, serve him up. Simple as that.
He'll
save her a lot of emotional pain by seeing him get whooped up.
I know, but I'm worried that I might not be there when it happens. So there's more than one thing going on. First of all, what's the easiest way for me to help her deal with this? I always have trouble helping her deal with things.
Is she ever getting counseling or anything?
She has in the past.
You're not her therapist. You're not her mental health professional. You can't do anything other than be her boyfriend and to urge her to get appropriate care.
Right.
Why do I get the distinct feeling there's more here?
Why? What do you mean?
More with her, more going on. I mean, she's perfectly, everything's perfectly normal, perfectly natural, but she has nightmares and intrusive thoughts and she can't function.
She was severely traumatized.
Well,
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, but post-traumatic stress, the probability of that is dependent on your condition coming into the stress.
All right.
And secondly, why hasn't that been treated?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Did she have any problems before this, childhood, that kind of stuff? Has she ever abused before?
Not that I know of. No.
Her dad's a good guy?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
No one slapped her around or did anything
bad?
Well,
why hasn't she had effective treatment? That's what I understand.
Well, she says it doesn't help her. And I can say she's stubborn, so she doesn't want to go back. She went again recently.
Well,
I urged her on, and she
good.
Went, and she stopped.
All right, well, that's you got to get her to follow through on treatment. I don't know why she's stopping, but that's the problem.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
So your only angle is she's got to get treatment.
I agree with that.
All right, and that's about it. I mean, otherwise, you know, you can be supportive and everything, but she's not going to get much better unless she puts in the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rehab, essentially. Right. It's like physical therapy for your brain.
Well, I don't know how long she went, but I'm assuming...
That's your angle.
Yeah, for
right?
attitude, yeah.
All right, this is a nightmare. I couldn't imagine.
No, it's not necessarily a nightmare.
No, I couldn't. Listen, you ever been around a chick who, like, lost a cat 15 years ago and they're still freaked out? They see a cat. See a movie with a cat on it. They watch it, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. They see the animatronic cat, and they start crying. Could you imagine being with someone who was, you know, severely beaten and, you know, raped and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd just be hard. You go to a movie, and someone be getting beaten up or something, and she'd freak out. And
definitely. I mean, it's hard going into a relationship with a person's luggage they have from the last one.
Right.
You know, so something like that.
Right. And this is a UPS truck full of parcels.
Exactly.
And you know, I always feel sorry for these people. It's like I don't want to neglect them, but on the other hand, it's really tough on the young partner that they have to try to see them through this. And it's kind of up to them, unfortunately, because it's like you were the one who were victimized once, but unfortunately now you're the one who has to repair yourself in a sense. Two, by doing the work, and that's what he has to urge her to do.
Yep.
We're going to take a little break. Steph is here from Deftones. Be Real's here from Cypress Hill. Smoke Out this Saturday, Los Angeles.
Right.
We will tell you more about that when we come back.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there to my left. That'd be to your right if you're facing the radio. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Steph is here from the Deftones, as well as Be Real from Cypress Hill. And they're going to be at the Smokeout, and that's in Los Angeles County, that is. Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion, all ages. Doors open at 10 a.m., and everybody who's somebody is going to be there. Of course, Deftones and Cypress Hill are going to be there. Busta Rhymes, NOFX, Fear Factory. Method Man, Red Man. Let's see. All the guys with the name Man at the end.
I'm just
of
reading the
Suicidal Tendencies, Afro Man. There's another man's going to be. Long Beach Dub All Stars, Rumblefish. Oh, my God.
A slew of artists.
Yeah, big. And that's the main stage. And I mean, there's more on the main stage, too. I'm not mentioning everybody. Second stage is even more guys.
You ready for something written by
the
Method
Project?
Method Man's PR.
Ready? Yeah.
The varied spectrum of rap music personalities includes few true superstars, individuals whose credentials encompass the grittiest street reverence as well as the jiggiest pop life glamour.
That's right. Jiggy. That's why you need a publicist. All right. Well, he'll be there, and I'm sure he doesn't know one word that's on that bio. But there's going to be a lot of smoke going on backstage, I'm guessing, as well.
Definitely.
Would that be true?
We'll be barbecuing.
We'll be barbecuing. We'll be smoking. I mean, this is like the first smoke out where I've actually had most of my friends on, you know, the bill. You know,
right.
A lot of acts on the bill, you know, in the previous years, you know, we just, you know, barely know. We did a couple of shows here and there, but these are all bands that we actually hang out with, like the guys from Fear Factory.
Afro Man.
They're on tour right now. Big up. They're listening to the show in Detroit right now, actually.
And is there going to be a little cross-pollinization? You think some of the guys may step out on stage with some of the other guys from some of the other bands?
Well, yeah, that's what the Kush Project is, you know.
Right, that's on the second stage about 4:30, something like that.
Yeah. 420. Yeah, but you know, you might see various members of all these bands with the other bands at some point during the shows, you know.
Right, right. Like if Method Man has your pipe or something.
Yeah, I might have to go snatch it back
in the middle of the set.
Give me that damn thing back, man.
No. Joe.
How you doing, man?
Good. You're 29. What's up?
29. And I listen to your show a lot. I like both of you guys quite a bit. I have true respect for your fortitude. You talk to a lot of idiots.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Like, the thing I wanted to talk about is I am totally marijuana dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 29. I own my own business. I got really nice insurance, and I want to stop. But I want to talk to my doctor about it.
Hmm.
How do I talk to my doctor about... Because, like, I'm pretty sure I'm on the marijuana maintenance plan.
Yeah. You know what you need to do? You need to ask your doctor for a referral. You're on an HMO, though. That's what somebody told me. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm on a... Like, I bought really nice insurance.
Well, HMO doesn't imply necessarily really nice. But be that as it may, you need to talk to someone who has an addiction medicine certification. Your doctor probably will not understand exactly what's needed to take care of this problem if you really are serious.
An osteopath. Do you think that might be?
No. You need to talk to an addictionologist because it's a tricky problem. And it's not something that if people really haven't dealt with it, been through it with people, no way they can advise you on how to deal with this. So you need to talk to a psychiatrist who has addiction medicine certification.
I missed the problem.
He smokes
too much pot and he wants to stop.
Like, okay, I listen to you guys, and I listen to you a lot.
He wants to stop.
What's wrong?
You guys talk to these people who are complete fools.
I'm 31. I'm 31. I get high every day. I'm not a fool.
And what's that, Joe?
Okay,
it's all right.
I listen to these people, and I go, at least I'm not them, and as I light my fifth joint for the day.
Yeah, I do more than that. You'll be all right.
Yeah, but he's not in a band.
He's trying to run a business.
I got to remember to do things.
Here's the two.
Write them down.
The two most
writing them down is a great way to.
Hey,
get
I just thought
done.
Of a good idea. Scratch pad on the bone, one of those Marks a Lot magic erase boards
or you
on the bone.
Like that memento guy and just tattoo yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, look, it's
go
it's
to no, work in the morning.
It's no doubt that it's for some, and sometimes it ain't for everybody. If it's not for him, then you know.
Well,
so be it. And
sometimes
let him
it's
do his thing.
Sometimes it's for some for a while too, and then it's not for them anymore.
That's usually what happens. It stops working, and that's when people start to smoke more pot in the acceleration in terms of the feelings of depression, anxiety, and sleep problems, and not being able to find your car keys. I'm sure that's a big one, Joe.
Oh, yeah, or forgetting your appointments. Dude, I have grandiose dreams for my business.
You can't do them. Yeah, you can't do them.
Like, I have these great ideas. I write them down. I look at them, and the next day, I'm like, oh, my God, I must have been high. Or I make business deals when I am high.
Baby steps. You got to do everything bit by bit. You can't have it all tomorrow.
And what happens in those deals?
Like, you know.
Oh, like, sometimes I just kind of underbid myself.
Yeah.
Stay
and then
focused.
I get through the deal, and I get to the end. I'm like, oh, my God. How much money I made? I must have been high.
Yeah, you got to stay more focused.
Most likely, I was high.
Yeah, don't blame the weed. Don't blame the weed.
No, the weed's good. Don't give it a bad name.
Everybody functions different off of it, you know.
No, I know guys who smoke weed all day, and they go to work, and they're fine. And
everyone's fine for a while, and then how long that while is 1 year for some, 30 years for others.
But you have to admit, if you weren't high all the time, there'd be times of real quality production, and there'd be times of laziness. It would be there anyway.
So, Joe, the problem is that the first 6 months of abstinence after you've been on a maintenance program, there is a period of very high risk for actually suicide, believe it or not. The biology of recovery of the brain during that time makes people very, very depressed.
All right, so talk to the
specialist.
And
the staying stop part,
man, I've been
is extremely difficult.
You told him to go to the specialist.
He needs to join the Kush School, and we'll, you know, fix that problem right quick. We'll go rehabilitate him.
Yeah, you'll have him on brownies. Hey, you're not smoking weed anymore.
See, you're not smoking.
Adam?
Yeah, what's going on?
You're 24. It says here you had a coffee enema.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I tried it.
Why?
Why?
Well, the girlfriend tried it.
Why did she do it?
What?
Why did she do it?
It's obvious.
She's always wanted to.
Why?
I don't know. She just had this weird thing about it. I wanted to do it in warm water myself. You know?
Right.
Because, you know, coffee, you know, it only goes in one hole.
You needed to wake that ass up.
That was a dirty butt. Needed a cleaner.
But no, really, it's kind of hard to take the kids to the pool now, if you know what I mean.
Oh, no.
Jesus. Why? You have a leak?
I don't know. I just wonder if it's from that or just, I don't know. I'm just...
All right, we gotta take a break.
Hold on there, Adam.
All right.
It's a meibomium AD.
It's hard to take the kids to the pool.
She's got a leak.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Steph's here from Deftones. We have Be Real from Cypress Hill, and we'll take a break. We'll get back with Anima. Anima. I took Adam and Anima, made it into one word.
Anima.
We'll be back with Anima.
Anima.
After this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Steph is here from the Deftones. Be Real is here from Cypress Hill. And they will both be at the Smokeout coming up this Saturday. Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion. That is in, Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles. You should be able to find. How do you find? Is there a website or something, or how do you get information about this beside me?
Yeah, they can get on our website, smokeout.net, and they can get directions how to get to the Blockbuster Pavilion.
If you like Cypress Hill and you like the Deftones, then you're going to like the other 178 bands that are going to be there, because it's not like... you pull some BS. It's not like Toad the Wet Sprocket is going to be mixed in somewhere there,
Catherine
right?
Wheel.
Not like Catherine Wheel.
It's
Drew, where'd you get Catherine Wheel from? I haven't even thought of that band in like 6 years.
It's a real diverse lineup, man. You know, we try to, you know, make it as diverse as possible every time. You know, we do the smoke out, you know, that's what makes it different from other venues.
It's all music. It's like there's a lot of foods you can eat with red wine, but they all have red wine in common. This a lot of music, but it all goes well with the weed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely, because you could listen to the Deftones while you're stoned out.
Yeah,
on many occasions.
Do the police threaten you guys or anything? Do they give you any trouble?
No, I mean, most of those guys come up to us, hey, man, if we weren't on duty, you know, hey, we get a toke.
All right, we will hop back. Yeah, go ahead.
But we definitely want to stress to people who, you know, who have been inquiring about our project, our side project, the Kush thing, all the Fear Factory fans, Deftone fans, Cypress Hill fans, the 420, the second stage, we will be performing the first time as this band, and we want people to check it out. But, you know, aside from that, let's get back to the format.
Here we go. We're getting back with Adam.
Hey, thanks for not calling me Adama.
Well, Adama over here, whose girlfriend had a coffee enema, and so he did too?
Yeah, I'm smelling Drew's coffee over here, and I can't even think about it the same now.
Adam just cramped in Drew's mug.
He started talking about throwing kids in the pool. I was like, what the fuck?
Actually, I got to tell you, the coffee would probably be better out of Adam's ass than the coffee is here at Westwood One.
You could do a taste test. I'm not sure.
You wouldn't do a blindfold?
The pool's cloudy?
No thanks.
But really, would this have a problem with, like, affecting your poop?
Of course. Are you having diarrhea? What's the deal?
No. Like, you know, everything came out just, you know, nice and runny afterwards, but...
Right.
I'm talking about, like, an after effect. Like, and, you know...
Yeah, what is the after effect you're having?
Is
like,
it still runny?
Kind of stuffed up, like, you know, you're on the crapper, and, you know, just you're not getting the job done.
Constipation.
This guy talks in riddles.
I know. It's like talking to the skateboarding Riddler.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
he can't take a dump, man.
Is that what's it?
He's constipated.
Yeah,
yeah. There could be a lot of things. Maybe he's constipated. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's got a hemorrhoid or something that's hanging him up. Maybe he's caused some inflammation
down there. Eat some salads, man.
Yeah, some bran and maybe some milk and magnesia or mineral oil, that kind of thing. I don't think a single coffee enema in a 24-year-old shouldn't, like, ruin his colonic function.
Now, let me just get this straight. I've never done this, but you should let the coffee cool before you dump it into the funnel.
Maybe that's part of the vibe.
Is that part of the vibe? Yeah, that could be rough.
He was trying to dunk her donut.
If it came just from right out of the thermos and into the
well,
ass
you
thermos.
Really want that steam milk. You want it to be a cappuccino if you really or a latte.
Well, maybe you could just run the tube straight from the cappuccino or the latte machine. Yeah, you could blow some foamy milk up your ass.
Pure espresso.
Mike?
Whoa.
Mike? What is he sleeping? Mike. Wait.
There's too much.
Mike is passed out.
Put Mike on hold. We'll get back with him. Let's talk to Lewis.
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first I want to say that I'm a huge fan of the show. I hear you guys all the time.
Thanks.
And I want to ask Steph a question.
Go ahead.
I want to ask him about Chino's voice. If it's getting better or if it's getting worse.
He just had a moment where he went out. You know, I mean, just strained it and he lost it for a while and he's fine now.
Yeah, because like I heard on the radio, because I was going to see you guys in like Anaheim, but you guys canceled with Godsmack, and instead on the radio because he has to stop drinking and smoking.
Yeah, he's got to deal with the most pain. I mean, not just the pain of losing his voice, but also having what people think and all the things they say about it. You know, not really knowing because they're not around him. So, but he's all good, you know. But it'll bum him out when people are like, why'd you guys quit? Take care of yourself. He's like, you know, he's just living his life.
Yeah, okay.
It's all right. They get to see him at the smokeout, for Christ's sake. Come on, get over it.
Yeah. Lewis, are you going? Are you going?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But the only thing I don't like about it, really, because it's at the Glen Howe and Blockbuster Pavilion.
We're playing at the Greek Theater, I think, on the 27th, too.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's like a benefit for breast cancer.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Well, what's wrong with the Blockbuster?
Well, because it has pit, and then it has seats, and then lawn.
Oh, well, you know, the seating is different this year. We took out all the middle rows, so it's general admission right there. So
big pit.
Yeah, no seats in the way right there.
Big party, big pit.
It's going to be a different sort of party.
All right, Lewis.
Don't trip.
Go there, and don't worry about that general seating, because it's all one big pit.
You're going to have a cush dream at the end of the night.
Amy?
Yep.
You're 20?
I am.
What's up?
First of all, I think you guys are hilarious.
Well, thanks.
Secondly, I have a question because I've never really had a boyfriend. And that kind of worries me because I don't think I'm that bad looking. I think I'm pretty good, but I still haven't had a boyfriend and I'm kind of digging this guy at work.
You're fat. True. Why don't you think you've had a boyfriend?
I don't know. Maybe I just give off like a vibe or whatever. I don't know.
No, that's not enough to deter
you
guys.
You heard the vibe that Tanya gave off? She repulsive, and people are still...
Right. Well, she's got those riding pants.
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean,
yeah,
she couldn't put off a repulsive enough vibe.
No, it ain't. I'm sad to admit that for guys, the vibe really doesn't factor in until like year number three of the relationship.
Right.
Maybe four.
I mean, well, I'm not really getting that far either.
Are you a virgin?
Never.
I would work that angle if I were you.
Have you ever had a date?
It'll all change after that.
You know, I go out and whatever, you know, I do stuff.
Why don't you ever sort of get going in the relationship?
I don't know. I have a pet peeve. I hate stupid, like, relationship games.
Are you saving yourself?
What does that mean, stupid relationship games?
Yeah, someone worthwhile.
What does stupid relationship games mean?
Hold on. She's a little angry now.
No, I'm just, I grew up in a small town, so there's really no one worth it.
What does stupid relationship games mean?
Well, hold on a second.
There are some bad guys.
Question answered. No, she's not going to answer. But you think she's going to have an answer for that? It's going to be the nonsense. Game.
It's going to be that she doesn't like guys, doesn't like dating, doesn't like anybody.
Right. This started off as I'm 20. I haven't had a boyfriend. Woe is me. I don't think anything's wrong with me. And it started to go a little bitter. Like,
well, she's from a small town, right? Well,
the ratio is all messed up, I'm sure.
It's a little different, you know, when they come to a big city like maybe L.A. or something like that.
She's calling from Santa Barbara, so...
Well...
There's plenty of people getting laid in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, there's plenty... yeah.
She's got no problems up there.
That's just where she's at. Maybe she's from somewhere else.
Where are you from, Amy?
I'm originally from Ventura County.
Oh, same difference.
Well,
same
where? Difference. Fillmore?
No, not Fillmore, but you're getting close.
There's no Santa Rosa area.
All right, listen, who cares?
Forget about it.
What do you want?
No, I just want to know if it's just me, if there's something I should do with
it. It is you.
You're the only variable that's fixed, so it's got to be you.
You're a little bit angry. You're a little like, you're tired of the games. You haven't been in a relationship.
No, it's really just not the games. It's just like trying to guess, engage, whatever. I'm just like...
Guess, engage what?
If you like me, fine, ask me out. If you don't, then...
There you go.
You know what it is? You've made sex.
Why don't you ask them out? Why don't you ask them out?
Just flat out ask.
Yeah.
Well, I've done that before, and it's kind of like I've had like my share of stalkers or whatever, but I'm just like...
You made sex. You've empowered sex. If you give it away, then you won't have any more power.
What well, do you What do you mean you've had stalkers?
I don't know. You have like those retarded people who are just like, yeah, you're nice to them or whatever, and then you get to know them and you're just like, okay, never mind.
And what happens?
And they just keep on following you.
Right.
And following you, and you're like, no.
Well, you
she's
got-
too good for them again.
Hey, here's she's like, another hot one.
Yeah, she's. She's too good.
Here's what she is. She's not quite as hot as the chick with the riding pants. Otherwise, she would have had something going by now. But she's got some potential. But she's got a lot of attitude for someone who doesn't get asked out that much, you know? And she's a little angry, is what it is. And a little picky. And ain't... You know what
sexual
she might,
frustration.
She's got... There's some energy. It's more than just...
Her friends are getting laid, and she's not.
She needs a release.
Something going on, yeah. Hey, Amy?
Yeah. If
hey.
I need a release, what are you doing tonight, Adam?
I'm going to be doing the radio for another 49 minutes. You can get over here.
Well, that's not bad. I can make it there in an hour.
You're coming from Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
All right.
Forget about it.
You drive like the wind.
Okay.
And I'll be the one with his penis sticking through the mail slot.
Right.
As I understand I got a lot of crazy fans. I can't actually make contact with you.
Okay.
I will push my penis through the mail slot.
That's bold, not being able to trust him through the slot.
That slot's what, about a quarter inch through the slot?
It should only knock off about a quarter inch from the depth of my penis.
Oh, so it's at least 2.5 inches
At least two and three quarters. 2 3/4 actually measured it with the security guard. He pulled out a... actually, his fingers calibrated.
Okay.
Hey, Amy.
Yes.
You would get more dates if you weren't so sort of...
You have a problem with relationships. You are hell-bent... you're hell-bent on not having intimacy. You're finding reasons not to be vulnerable, not to get involved, not to like people. All your excuses are all a bunch of nonsense. You need to get in there, do the dance, like everyone else.
Yep.
Go ahead and date. Figure out who these people are, but you've got to be vulnerable and you've got to be open, or there's going to be no relationship. I don't know if someone's left you or you've come from a fractured family that was terribly painful for you. Whatever it is, it's time to get over that and go ahead and be vulnerable again.
Well,
it's going to be okay.
Or she really liked somebody and he just blew her off.
She never had a boyfriend.
But, you know, life sort of works out this way, which is if you protect yourself too much, then you never experience anything. You don't want to be foolish. You don't want to hook up with some guy over the internet and meet him at the park at 4 a.m.
Well, but it's interesting. But her next move was, Adam, what are you doing? I'll come right down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think she was screwing around, though. Okay. All right. Get out there and experience
things.
You'd
like to believe that, huh?
Listen, you will get screwed over. I mean, hold on a second. Here's an interesting point. Would you consider your life, I mean, knowing where we're at now and how old we are and everything, I'm glad I've been screwed over. Not several dozen times, but I'm glad.
Many hundreds.
Right. I'm glad I was screwed over a handful of times.
Well, I was never glad that I was screwed over.
You learned things from it, though.
Not at the time, but you're glad now that you're a more well-rounded person, that you experienced some highs along with some lows, and that it sort of shaped you and made you who you are. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing at age 20 to have hit a few speed bumps as far as relationships go. And if you protect yourself from that, then you don't really become a human being along the way.
No pain, no gain, baby.
You still have those same bumps when you're 40 and 50 and so on.
Yeah, but then
just disguised in a different look.
No one wants it. Hold on. Give me some of that weed. So I can really dig on what Steph's seen over here. Mike? Be real. Did you bring me any weed?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
I got
good.
Plenty.
Good. Mike, you're 27.
Yes.
What's up?
I've got a question. I have a 3-year-old daughter, and the other night she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and started screaming that her mother heard her. Me and her mother are separated now, and I asked her where she touched her or where she hurt her, and she said her belly. And I said she hurt you in the belly, and she said no, down here. And she pointed to her private spot. I'm really worried about what's going on over at her mother's house.
How well do you, are you married the woman? You think she's capable of doing something like this to her daughter?
Well, the reason I left her is because she is abusive, and she was abused when she was younger. And
leave the kids with that. Good plan.
Yeah. So she was abusive to you?
Yes, she was.
Physically abusive?
Physically and mentally.
Was she ever abusive to your daughter while you were there?
Not when I was there, because she knows how I stand about that. But she was abusive to me.
What did she do that you couldn't stand up against her?
She kicked him in his private part, actually.
She struck me across the face more than once, probably 3 times. And,
All right. Well, so there's something here.
Yeah, just because she's pointing at her private doesn't mean that's where it actually happened, believe it or not.
Maybe she punched her in the stomach.
Yeah, she definitely got some physical abuse.
Was your wife sexually abused when she was younger? Your ex-wife?
Yeah, she was.
She was?
Yeah, she was.
And who did this to her?
It was her mother's husband.
Okay, so her stepdad?
It wasn't her dad, yeah.
Stepdad. Okay, so she's...
Mother's
she's,
husband.
Well, there you go. Well, we did the math.
Stepfather.
So she's got some issues.
Yes.
And some energy, and she obviously has not worked those out.
Is she doing drugs and alcohol also?
I don't think so.
What kind of answer is that? Does she have a history of drug and alcohol use?
No, she doesn't.
All right, okay.
She did do drugs when she was in high school.
All right. You got to worry about the next guy she dates,
would that,
by
that
the way.
No history of drug and alcohol use, or would that be a history of
everyone
drug?
Does drugs in high school, but you, Drew.
Those days don't count.
Yeah. High school is like when people say... You know, people go, I smoked some reefer in college. That's what high school is for us who didn't go to college. You understand? That's our excuse. We did some in high school. We would have done them in college
had we
not got so baked in high school that we could have went to college.
Exactly.
Right. We went to work and continued to do drugs. But
true.
Here's the deal. He needs, I think, to maybe deal with the courts here and see about getting her away from this gal.
Absolutely.
Because not only does this gal have a lot of unresolved issues that may be played out on the kid, but I guarantee you the next guy this gal starts dating is going to be a piece of work.
Yes.
And you know what I hear over and over on this show, and I don't want to freak Mike out too much, but her stepdad got to her when she was a young girl.
So she'll bring a step.
Pick the same.
What are the chances she goes out and finds some jackass who comes in and lays a hand on her kid now?
About
80%. So, Mike, you got your work cut out for you. And listen, everybody, I feel sorry for guys like Mike, but listen, guys, come on. Where's your antenna?
Mm-hmm.
You don't start families with psycho bitches. You just can't. I feel sorry for these women or these guys until they become parents, and then I get angry at them.
It's the same old situation.
Absolutely. and it just perpetuates itself. She goes out and hooks up with an abusive stepdad. He comes in, lays a trip on your young daughter, and then young daughter grows up and hooks up with an abusive guy, has kids, and you do the math. All right, let's go kill ourselves. What do you say?
I'm ready.
All right, I'm just serious. I want to go out to Be Real Mobile and
get some weed.
No, he's got some change in his ashtray.
Yeah. Where's our Culver City PD friend?
Oh, true. Come on, buddy.
Well, they'll guard you while you make the transfer.
And let me tell you, the problem with the Be Real weed is even if you don't smoke it, you can't keep it in your car. The whole car smells like weed, even if it's not lit. Last time Be Real gave me some weed, I had to tape it to my antenna.
I'm sorry, man.
I lost like an ounce on the freeway on the way home because if you actually put it inside of the car and shut the door, it immediately smells like a opium den in there. I mean, it smells like a hash bar.
What can I do, man?
Yeah, it's too good. And why is weed more than Coke? Shouldn't weed drop? I mean, what I'm saying is not more than Coke, but what I'm saying is Coke used to be like 100. Drew, when you were doing those mounds of Coke in the mid-80s, you were paying, pardon the pun, through the nose for this stuff, right? I mean, all that money your parents were paying for med school was going right into this Coke, right? And that Coke was like 120, 130 a gram, right? I mean, it was up there. Now the Coke is like 30 a gram, which for me is a reason for me, you know, I'd like to get back into it now that I got a good steady income and it's cheap. I've been waiting for the market to fall out on Coke, waiting for the bottom to dip a little and get back into it. But I'm saying weed has gone up, has it not? I mean, consistently over the years, not a ton.
Yeah, but you got to use less of the weed, though.
Oh, that's a good point.
All you got to do is wave the baggie through your car.
Right.
You don't have to light the stuff now you're getting high.
Right. I could have someone take a bong load and blow it through a HEPA filter at me, and I would get a great buzz.
At 300 yards.
That is true.
Yeah.
Drew, you make a very good point. So it is actually cheaper because it's much more potent.
Yeah, per the draw on your bong, it's less expensive.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, good point. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm glad you clarified that.
That was interesting.
No, he's right, because you used to get a big bag full of, you know, stems and leaves and whatnot,
disgusting.
Right?
I believe it was called terrible. A lid.
A lid. You used to get a lid, and now it's twice as much, but it's so much more concentrated. It's like what they talk about with the laundry detergent, you know?
Yeah.
More concentrated.
You get, like, 20 loads.
It's like a laptop that gets smaller and more powerful.
Right, it gets more powerful. Smart. Okay. Good. Hmm. No, wait, Drew. We're on still
here.
Oh,
excuse me. I beg your pardon.
We'll be back.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Be Real is here from Cypress Hill. Steph is here from the Deftones. They're going to be at the Smokeout at the Glen Helen Regional Blockbuster Pavilion Park Place coming up this Saturday. 10 o'clock. Doors open. Everybody on the main stage and everyone's cousin on the second stage. It's going to be big. There's a dance tent. And
the dance tent is wild. I've been in that thing before.
What, you actually just set up a big tent?
Last time it was a big warehouse.
Yeah, it's going to be a big tent.
And there's going to be all kinds of vendors. You probably do that weird thing where you get in with that kaleidoscope mobile thing. What is that thing?
The gyroscope.
The gyroscope thing.
We spin around.
It's great. You eat 70 pounds of jerk chicken. You do a bong load, 32-ounce lemonade. Then you hop onto the gyroscope and heave all over the crowd.
That would be nice. That'd be an extra added attraction.
Oh, I tell you that whenever I see that gyro go round thing at these things, I always just think how much would you have to pay me to get on that thing? I'm about to fall over. I got 14 beers in me, and I got sunstroke. There's no way I'm climbing. I just ate 4 kielbasa dogs. There's no way I'm getting on that thing.
See, I couldn't get on it anyway. I just don't like spinning. That's why I can't. You know, I don't like getting drunk for that. Yeah. I don't like spinning. So.
Right.
Something like that. I'd toss my cookies even if I didn't have anything inside.
Right, yeah. That's weed makes you spin, and I mean, I'm sorry, booze makes you spin, and weed is like you're sitting down with a mini safe in your lap. Like, you can't be moved. Forget about spinning. Your mind can't even spin. Your ass can't move and your mind ain't going nowhere
either.
Your
mind's thinking spin.
But I've been there sometimes, though, where your mind starts to wobble, though.
Yeah.
You do get a little, ooh.
Wait a minute, I'm too high.
I'd rather wobble than spin, man. I'd rather wobble than spin any day.
But you grow roots, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We had this invention on the Man Show, one of the Manovations, which was the bed that spins counterclockwise to the way you're spinning when you're drunk.
So you end up still.
Yeah, it works out.
Wow.
It's like a big gyroscope, yeah. I mean, it'd be cool, right? You lie down to go to bed, you got a few beers in you, you start spinning around, you hit a button, and your bed starts spinning the other way.
You set the speed, set the angles.
Yeah, hit the center.
You ought to try it. Did you try it yet?
Yeah, I tried it, but...
Did it work?
Well, it worked, but I tried to beat off, my hand went flying off and broke the window.
Where'd the semen go?
The remote to the VCR shot through the bedroom window. It went in the neighbor's pool. So I think I had it set too fast.
How's Bobo doing?
Yeah, where's
Bobo? He's doing all right.
Speaking of spinning.
I thought he'd be here. I thought he was going to meet us up here. But
Well, you're supposed to pick him up at 9:30. He's at home.
Yeah, leave him at home.
Well, send him our love when you see him, please.
Yeah, for sure. He's probably listening. He knew I was coming up here today.
Darlene?
Yes?
You're 29?
Correct.
What's up?
My question is, I'd like to know what I can do to make anal sex more pleasurable for me.
It's not possible.
Yeah, you mean more pleasurable or less painful?
Less painful.
Stop doing it.
Yeah, some people hurt. Most women, it's an uncomfortable or unpleasant or, frankly, excruciating experience.
It wasn't designed for that purpose.
What do you got going on in the background there, Darlene?
What do you mean, what do I got going on in the background?
You got a stereo up?
Polka music going.
Some kind of music?
That?
You got some kind of music?
No, I have the TV.
Okay. Could you turn that down, jackass, please?
Lawrence, well
done. Thank you.
Darlene?
Yes.
Why is it important for you to engage in a behavior that you find unpleasant?
Because it would make my husband happy.
Why?
Because he enjoys doing that.
Have you ever done it with him before?
No, we've tried, and I just can't do it.
So how do you know he would enjoy this?
He wants to do it very bad.
Yeah.
Well, he feels pretty
small. He's a jackass.
He gets off just...
thinking about you being in pain?
I guess.
All right. Well, look, if it's not going to work for you, it's not going to work
for
you.
If he was into stump porn, would you oblige him that, too?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. No. Hey, Darlene?
Well, I've been married for 7 years, and I do want to please him.
That's nice and noble and
Drew,
misplaced enthusiasm.
Drew,
frankly.
How could one dilate one's anus if one needed to?
Well, they got the spray at the customs.
They do? And it dilates it?
Yeah, so they don't have to pry you open.
Is that right?
I've never had this, but we joke about it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I've heard about it from numerous people.
Is it like an ice thing?
Yeah,
a freezing?
I don't know. I don't know what it actually is, but it's just
maybe a numbing thing.
Well, like, because we travel clean, because I don't even want to have the spray coming into my car.
Wow, that is interesting. I've never heard of this.
You think that really exists?
Yeah, I totally believe it.
Well, how come the stool doesn't come piling out with whatever they've been packing?
I'm sure they got to do it.
There's a second spray. They just spray that.
I travel just...
Squat over the pan, please.
I travel as clean as I can.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. And there are, you know, graduated devices you can buy in shops that'll help you sort of get used to it.
All right, well, here's the deal. Okay, yeah, I would suggest A, a lot of lubrication. B, if you can get your hands on some of that custom spray.
We got to find out what that is. Anybody, any customs officers, let us know what
that
is.
You need to throw a blockade on the Hershey Highway.
You might not want to practice it because then you might need the plug.
And then you need... Yeah, right, you may need to wear your plug but all the time. But... more importantly, what's going on in your relationship that he is so hell-bent on causing you discomfort? And why do you feel such compulsion to, you know, make good on this and this demand that he has?
All 7 years.
All good questions. We don't care to hear the answer for. Drew, Donna?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I just wanted to know, is it normal for me to... you know, enjoy going to the nudie bars with my boyfriend.
Well, yes. You got to work. You got to work, right?
No, not to work. To watch.
I see. Yeah, that's fine.
How often?
We don't go very often. Maybe about two times a month, if that.
And what do you, do you get a lap dance?
I have once. And the girl actually, you know, she brought us both back, let him watch, and she danced for me.
And what about when he gets a lap dance?
Every time that I've gone with him, as far as I know, he hasn't gone without me. He hasn't gotten one.
Yeah, it's always great. You know what I love? I love when guys go with their ladies and they sit at the bar and they watch Monday Night Football. And they're like, oh, hey, there are gals here. Well, what? How do you know about that?
And we actually go up to the stage and, you know. We're
right, he sits there. But when you're not there, he's knee-deep in poontang. Believe you me.
Yeah, her legs are wrapped around his head. He's shoving 20s.
He's knee-deep in poontang when he gets home, too. So
I understand. But it is funny when guys do that and they go and they don't get that lap dance. I guarantee he got at least 150 lap dances the last time he was there.
You know, the crazy part is, imagine, I mean, there's lots of guys that take their girlfriends and wives to strip clubs, but what if women took their men to male strip clubs?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's not going to work.
Hey, yeah. Baby, would it turn you on if Turk gave me a lap dance? Put on like a village people song. And
there's got to be people out there that do it, though.
I know, but I don't think it translates that way.
No, not at all. Guy would be going.
It would be the same feeling for the woman, though, wouldn't it? I mean, if
women would be disgusted by it.
I mean, as a guy, we all like to believe that all women are bisexual.
Right.
But you know. Yeah. But you know that they're not all that away. So it's got to be that same weird feeling if we went to one of them clubs with them.
But the guys are going to see the women aroused. The women go to watch the women with the men. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right,
right.
I don't even... do they have lap dances at girl clubs?
I don't know.
Or are they all just up on stage? Well, anyway, look. Donna goes... and hey, Donna?
Yeah?
Like if you're enjoying yourself and he's enjoying himself and it's helping out in the bedroom and you guys aren't arguing all the way home, then so be it. That's fine.
All right. I just had a couple people tell me that I was weird and, you know, you've got to be bisexual. And
no.
Yeah, you're
don't
fine.
Get off on them dancing. It's just, I don't know, I guess the whole environment.
Yeah, no, right. Don't worry about it.
They're weird for telling you.
But keep in mind, you're getting dangerously close to a threesome. That'll be the next angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His angle.
Right.
Just stay away from coffee enemas, too.
Oh, yeah. Also, you know, I just wanted to say what's up to B and Steph. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Saturday. Uh-huh. I caught you guys at the 420.
All right, on.
Yeah, and a couple of times at the Bow. So just wanted to say what's up, and hopefully I'll catch you guys on Saturday also.
You can see him at 420 on the second stage, by the way, with Kush.
I don't think I'll make it in time. I'm actually pulling an all-nighter. I got to work Saturday and Sunday.
What do you do?
I work at a hospital as a tech, an EKG technician.
Okay.
Cool.
Save some people.
Working all day Saturday, hauling over there in the night and getting back.
They have EKG techs overnight now still?
They have up till midnight, but yeah, I work today shift, so.
Most hospitals are saving money on that.
All right, baby. Well, you get there when you get there, but just be ready to party.
Do what you got to do, huh?
Yeah, I do it. I try.
All right, and you stay in that candy striper outfit. Do all the chicks at a hospital have to wear the candy striper outfit, even the doctor, lady doctors, right, Drew?
Administration? Even the male doctors, what are you talking about?
Oh, really?
It's regulation.
Yeah, that'd be like, look, any woman who works here wears the candy striper outfit. As a matter of fact, anybody who comes in, even if it's the parents of a patient, the women have to put the candy striper outfit in. Even if you're an administration,
there's got to be a stipulation. Only if they're hot.
Yeah, naturally, that goes without saying. Kristen?
Yes.
You're 30?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yesterday morning, I walked out front to the yard, and my friend was sitting there with blood coming out of her leg. Mm. When I asked her what happened, she said she had no idea. She didn't really even realize that anything was happening. I took her to emergency about 4 or 5 hours later, and
what happened in those intervening 4 or 5 hours?
She was just pretty dazed, and kind of her equilibrium was off.
But why did you wait so long in taking her to the ER?
Because she was waiting for a prescription to be filled.
Oh, for what?
Ultram.
She's on pain meds. What is she on pain meds for?
She's had 4 back surgeries.
So she's a drug addict.
No.
Yes.
Not at all.
Yes, she's taking pain medicines chronically. So
why was she on your front lawn?
No. She was sitting on the patio. She was going to have a cigarette, and when I walked out there, she had fallen.
Oh, do you live with her?
No, she's up here visiting me.
Okay.
She's taking, what other medicines is she taking?
Ultram and propofol.
Propranolol?
Yes.
You sure?
For anxiety.
Yeah, see, she's taking a bunch of, I bet she's taking even more than that.
All right, so she took a spill.
This for a drug-related spill.
No, she woke up.
All right, well, no. No. Well, then what? Then you tell us what's the problem.
It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and I walked out there, and she was sitting there on the ground. The ashtray had broken, and something had cut her leg, and there was blood. And I asked her what happened, and she said, there were people arguing, and I had to show them what's up. And Kelly, she doesn't talk like that.
All right.
And when I asked a little bit later, I put a Band-Aid on it, and she asked what the Band-Aid was for. And I said, well, don't you remember? You fell. She had no idea what I was talking about. Like, I told her the story three times.
Kristen, this is a drug-related experience. That's what this is. I don't know what drug she's taken, but that's what this is.
But Kristen, what point are you trying to make?
We went to the doctor.
What are you trying to?
We went to the emergency room,
and they told you. They told you she'd probably taken some medication or drugs.
No,
right?
No. They said she, because they asked, you know, do you, what kind of drugs do you do? Da, 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 da. We said smoke pot, and so the doctor's pretty much boom right there. You smoke pot. You probably smoked something that was laced with PCP.
Okay, but Kristen, I want to make a strong point to you. I'm a doctor. I'm telling you this is a drug-related thing. You went to the ER. They told you it was a drug-related thing.
No. I told her five times what happened to her, and she didn't understand. And then she ate a Bundt cake, and she tried to attack me with one of those cake spatulas. Okay?
That's not what happened.
And I put a Band-Aid on her knee, and she chewed it off.
So they at the ER were all trying to...
No. She said there were some people out there, and she had to do what was right, and she never talks that way. But no.
And so in the ER...
No.
They told her that she'd probably taken somebody, given her some PCP or something.
No, not drugs. No. Then she thought she was Kazoo from the Flintstones.
No.
And she hovered over my shoulder, giving me advice.
Calling me dum-dum.
Calling me dum-dum, and sometimes Fred. Kristen?
Flintstone. Just
yeah,
Flintstone.
Fred Flintstone.
No, just Flintstone.
Oh, he called him just Flintstone. That's right. Kazoo called him. Was it Kazoo?
Dum-dum and Flintstone.
That's right. Hey, Kristen?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe it was a drug-related thing. I don't know.
But wouldn't that have shown in the doctor's report when they did a blood and urine and
EKG? Nope.
No.
Why not?
Because they have to test for specific things, and if you didn't tell them that she was, you know, what you
told, I did.
You told her
I
she,
did.
You told her she smoked pots. They didn't need to test for that.
I told them that but I told them that she took some medication.
Yeah, and that's all they need to know.
Anxiety pills.
Yeah, well, that's all they need to know is that she's taking medicine and that she smoked pot, and that's enough to make her pass
out. But Kristen, let me just, what are you asking? Do you think she has a tumor, like a brain tumor or something?
Right, yes. I was, you know, pulled out the medical book, and it sounds like a stroke.
No, absolutely not.
All the symptoms.
No, it's not. I'm telling you what it was. The ER told you what it was.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Dr. Kristen. You go ahead and make your own diagnosis.
What do you do for a living, Kristen?
I work in human resources for a computer company.
All right, but that's got nothing to do with medicine, right?
No, but...
All right. Well, why don't you get her... Maybe she should get a CAT scan then, if you're so convinced. I mean, it couldn't hurt, right?
No.
Right, but then why don't the doctors do it? Why didn't they, you know, give any suggestions? Why was it the minute... She said she smoked pot. He kind of wrote it off.
Because you can do a neurologic exam there in the ER that can pretty much rule out, decrease substantially the probability that there's a tumor there.
And
the story here is so characteristic of substance.
Hold on a second.
So characteristic.
Everybody, just close your eyes for one moment. Picture yourself a doctor, and just picture Kristen and her friend coming in.
Yelling at you, yeah. Carrying on.
Chain smoking in the hospital, yelling no at you. No! Chewing gum. Smoking Marlboro Reds and yelling no at you, and you're pretty much sizing them up. Smell like beer. It's noon. You know what I mean? They got the 68 Dodge Dart running out in the parking lot. And you just pretty much, you smoke some weed, you got disoriented, you fell down.
Well, no. It says she's taking her anxiety medicines and her pain medicines and her multiple back surgeries. And she's doing more than Kristen even knows. That's for sure.
And guaranteed. Here's the other thing, too. Kristen, why is she living with you?
No, she came up.
No.
No. By the way.
Oh, my God.
Well, you do say no a lot.
You do say no a lot.
Every sentence has begun with no.
She's visiting you, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Oh, yes.
How's her life going?
Not an A. Yes.
Thank you. How's her life going other than this?
Not so well.
No. So there's
she just relocated down to L.A.
Okay.
After being laid off up here.
Okay. And why'd she get laid off?
Because she worked for a computer company and they're all doing it.
No. Okay. All right. Kristen, I think I understand you're her friend and you're trying to help her, and I think your efforts would be better directed at what we think and what those doctors think is probably the real problem, which is more the drugs than it is the tumor angle.
Right. She's doing more than you know.
And here's how you deliver it. She's doing more than you know. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. No. Yes. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Yeah, Drew,
yep.
Looked like you were going to say something for a
second. No, I was just thinking about our callers.
Be Real is here from Cypress Hill. Steph is here. No. And Steph is here from the Deftones. And they got the big smokeout coming up Saturday.
No.
Yes, this Saturday. Doors open at 10 a.m., kiddies, and it's all ages, and that's at the Glen Helen Blockbuster Pavilion. And every band is going to be there. If you're into them, if you're listening to this station, and you like the music this station plays sometimes other than me talking, then you're going to get there because those bands are going to be together, and they'll never be... Any two or three of these bands could play this stage the way they are, except for there's 10 more, and that's just on the main stage. Second stage has got another 25 bands. And then you got the hemp tent, where you just go there and you actually eat the tent.
No!
Hit a bus, yes. Luke.
You roll
the tent up, literally.
What's up, guys?
Luke, you're 20.
Yeah, I am. What's up, Adam? No gas today?
No, yeah, I haven't been gassy for a while. Ever since the tragedy.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it killed my gas.
All right.
Broccoli's just not as exciting.
Yeah.
My question's for Drew. I don't know if you'd have any information on this, but considering getting a Prince Albert, I want to know what kind of side effects, kind of nerve damage it would do, or, I know urine is far from clean, so I don't know if I'm getting some kind of weird infection.
Well, urine is completely sterile.
It is?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
That's why they drink it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean, unless it's infected. But, you can have to go to the pot piece sitting down from now on because it sprays out like wiper spray every time you pee.
Really? Yeah, does it really do that?
That's what they tell me. I don't have one, so I can't. That's what I hear. I have heard of cases where people get infections and have real serious loss in their penis.
Why you want to split it, man?
I've also heard of people losing erectile function and whatnot, but that's pretty rare. But why take those risks?
I don't know. The rush, I guess.
The rush.
You're bored, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Same reason I got my tongue pierced, but...
He's bored.
Yeah, something like that. No, I don't know.
Why do you say that?
Because most people do drastic things like that.
That's what they always
bored.
Say. They're bored. I can't even like relate. It's like you're bored, so I gotta put a ring in my penis.
Or they want to be different.
So I had my tongue pierced. I'm bored, so I put a spear to my penis.
It's either boredom or attention, man.
It's boredom. What is that?
Well, I mean, keep getting a lot of attention. I can attract it unless I'm like streaking across town.
Well, yeah, I said boredom or attention.
It's the constant bombardment of information and imagery all day long that'll cause you to be bored.
So you numb up, out.
Is that B-Real?
That was Steph.
Yeah.
This is B-Real.
Yeah, I got a question for you and Steph real quick.
Right.
Yeah, when you guys first started out, what'd you do to gain a following?
We played shows.
Played many shows.
We're at the...
Hold on, they didn't put hoops in their dorks, you hear me?
Yeah, we didn't spike
they
our...
They did it the old-fashioned way.
It's like a bent barbell, you know, it's got a ball on each side. I guess you get crazy and crazy.
I got a ball on each side, too, but they're natural.
And let me tell you, I know this sounds ridiculous, but I have done some traveling lately, and they really hit you with that detector
wand. Yeah, I had to write a letter for a patient who had a hip replacement.
Had a titanium hip
in order to get through the airport security.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. And what is it going to happen with the hardware here with guys with the body piercings?
It's a new time.
I don't know.
Take it off.
I don't know, but it could be potentially very humiliating.
Yeah, it's going to be okay. Take the rings. Take the hoops off. Put them on the conveyor belt here.
Now, listen, I agree with Steph and what he was saying in that I think. People are being so bombarded with so much and all this, you know, so many Mountain Dew commercials that they now must, in order to experience some feeling, put a spear through their dork to know they're alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's constant. I mean, even if it's not programming during the day, it's all the paid programming at night.
But it is interesting, though, that guys like Luke aren't given alternatives to arousal, right? I mean, if you can use arousal to feel good, it's always going to be more, because it's never enough.
Here's the lesson. Thank you, Confucius. If you think your arousal level is you're getting bored and you need more arousal, you need less. What you need is a little classical music, a bong load, and a long walk in a forest.
With another person, though. You need the connection piece.
I don't know. I think it's partially attention,
too. Connection, the guy with the weed?
That connection, if that's what you want to talk about.
I think it's partially, aside from boredom, is attention-seeking, too, because the first thing he's going to do is go whip it out and show it to people.
Yeah.
Look what I just did, man. Exactly. I just put it through my...
To the chick at the airport.
Exactly.
With the metal detector. Jack?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, you're 24. You want to know if there's a DNA test to see if your child is, in fact, your child?
Yeah.
Versus who?
Versus my brother.
Your
twin.
Whoa. Identical twin brother?
Yeah.
Identical twin brother.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I heard from a very reliable source that he might have been dibbling, dabbling, you know, with my girl
right.
at the same time.
And she's pregnant now?
Oh, well, my son's like, he's what, little over one now.
Wow.
Man, what do you care? It's just you.
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, it's your twin. He can't look any different. He's got to have the same basic personality, doesn't he?
I know, but I mean, I always had a feeling that something was going on.
I know, just leave it alone. See, because to you, you're you, but to us, you're them. You understand? It's cool. How different could he be than how he would turn out anyway? And... Here's my argument for this, Jack. You know, you got nature and nurture. Nature is the genes, and those are the same. So nurture is you because you're raising the kid, so you're covered. Do you know what I'm saying?
He wants to bust his chick, though.
But it's as simple as, I mean, maybe he's already done it to his brother in the past, and that's why he's thinking
nice.
That way.
You know, there is, other than our 46, where we got chromosomes, there is something called plasmids that each mitochondria has. And I don't know if the plasmid chromosomes would be different or if they could even be tested.
And the DNA, good one, Drew. It probably wasn't true, but it impressed all our stone listeners, including the people in this room. Now, is your DNA the same on your identical twin?
Yes, but I'm wondering if the mitochondrial DNA.
You sure? You know all about that?
Yeah, same.
All right.
And
I would assume that one day they'll come up with a test that can decipher even identical twins?
If the plasma DNA is different, yes.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Okay.
All righty. Well, there you go. Another fantabulous show deep, deep in the Loveline ground. Head out to the Glen Helen Pavilion this Saturday. Gates open at 10 a.m. All ages. Big show. Big smoke out show. And go out and see the Deftones and Cypress Hill and all of their good friends. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Good to see you. Had a bobo for us.
We sure will. I just want to mention this website for all the students who want to donate to relief funds from the WTC thing. It's wagepeace2001@yahoo.com. A friend of mine put it on to me. It's for college students around, you know, every area wants to donate and stuff like that. So they can go on the website and check it out.
All right.
And,
good message.
You know, let's party Saturday, man.
At Glen Helen.
At Glen Helen.
And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
What the hell does that do for you?
I have no idea.
It's a giant bruise. Your penis is a giant bruise.
Forget about it.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.